with your misfortune and none of my own. Hi-yi-yo, get along, you little doggy. You know that the prairie will be your new home.
Now for the thrilling adventures of Lightning Jim.
I won't stay back here. Let me out at once, do you hear? Let me out, I tell you.
Oh, quiet down, Bear.
I won't stay back here with these yowling pet of coyotes, I tell you. I won't. Let me out of here.
Oh, for heaven's sake, quiet down, Bear. This is the Fort Anderson jail you're in, not that fancy reformatory you got last time.
Yeah. They ain't got no special ladies department here, Bill.
Why, dirty, dolphin sidewinder, you. Take that. Come on.
That fur in one of them boots of yours done there took me off.
That's just lucky I wasn't inside those boots, joining them into your face, Jake Leader. Instead of just throwing him. It was your loose running, double crossing tongue that got us all behind bars. And if you don't watch out, I'll do some talking that'll get you measured for a hip necktie. Yeah, and a 6 foot spread on Boot Hill.
Yeah, it was Jake the cold that just all into the marshal's trap.
Shut up, all of you. You're all tied with the same brush as Jake. The only difference between you and a pack of cold cats. There's a strike down your back, a yellow instead of white. Shut up! Let me out of here! Let me out, I tell you!
Lightning Jim and Whitey have just returned to their headquarters at Fort Anderson following a successful adventure down in Indian Territory, where they managed to capture the notorious woman bandit Belle Starr and eight of the outlaws riding under her leadership. And now we find Whitey reclining in the comfortable depths of an armchair, shoes off, feet resting on a convenient table, chuckling over a bit of gossip in the local newspaper.
Storm coming up, Whitey. Better close them windows.
Oh, you're a coaster.
Yeah. Sure laid off my mind knowing Belle Starr's locked up good and tight, I can tell you that.
Lightning, you don't mean to tell me that you got worried over what the Bell said about the sleeping, do you?
Well, I reckon it is kind of foolish, Whitey, to let her brag and bother me. But you know her record for luck. With all the time she's had been sentenced to jail, the only time that woman ever left the prison by the front door was when her and Sam did that stretch at the Detroit Reformatory last year. You remember that?
Oh, yeah, I know all that, Lightning. But don't you forget that she ain't never been our prisoner before.
Yeah, I reckon you're right, Whitey. We've got a long record of good luck ourselves. You're good to be home, dear. Everything's so quiet and peaceful. Hey, Whitey. You gotta take a look at this sky, will you?
Sure. Say, them cots, they look just like my divorce.
Sure do.
I stand this like this. That's the way the sky looks the time we was in that tornado up in Iowa.
Yeah. Say, look, Whitey, off there in the distance, that whirling dust. It is a tornado, my guy.
Sure, and it's coming straight to me. See, we better get down in the shed.
I'll tell you that. Come on, hurry up.
Oh, look out for the ship, sir. Watch out. Open up. Look,
Whitey.
Hey, Lightning,
Can't you move off of me? It's bad enough to have the horse fall on me. Without you, you big... Listen! Listen, answer me! Listen!
Oh.
Yeah. You're not the right. Don't walk me like that.
Whitey?
Oh, I'm all right. Your head just leaves me.
I saw that Joyce was going to hit you, Whitey. Thought I could catch it and break the blow with my shoulder, but wasn't fast enough, I reckon. Stopped it with my head instead. Oh.
So that's why you threw yourself on top of me. Why did you do that last thing? Why did you risk yourself for me? I ain't nothing but a dumb gift, and you're the greatest man in the world. Why did you do that, Lightning? Lightning! Lightning, answer me, please!
Upon emerging from the cellar, Whitey discovered that it was hopeless to seek help for Lightning Jim close at hand. All about him lay a scene of havoc and confusion. Cries of distress rent the darkness. Pinning his hope upon the slim chance that the garrison might have escaped destruction, he started out. Half blinded by the heavy downpour, tumbling and groping in an uncertain passage among the wreckage strewn in the wake of the savage tornado, he pushed doggedly toward the army post. At the gate, he was accosted by the sentry.
Hi there. Half a moment, lad. What's the hurry?
Oh, let me pass you, crazy fool. I call for help. Lightning Jim, again.
Lightning Jim, eh?
No.
Never heard of him. I've got new orders not to.
Oh,
you guys there.
Colonel
Steele, Corporal.
Colonel Steele, make this
pine-sized cockney
hat with
the
skin at the top of my ribs, will you?
Off with
his hip.
Why,
you're
sniveling,
square-headed. Oh, no, Corporal. This man's a U.S. Deputy Marshal.
Sorry, sir. Seeing you at the post office. Oh, I didn't know, sir.
Colonel Steele, I come for help. Lightning's laying back in a cellar at the headquarters all alone. He's been hurt.
Lightning's been injured?
He owes
it, sir.
He's bleeding bad from me. He's got a big cut on his head. He saved my life, Colonel Steele, and now he might be dying.
The army post of Fort Anderson had lain outside the direct path of the tornado and thus had escaped to some extent the destruction which had claimed almost every home and building in the town. A portion of the barracks had been swept away by the wind, but enough had been left standing to provide shelter for the more seriously wounded of the townspeople who were being brought in by the dozens for medical attention. Into this crowded confusion, stretcher bearers carried the unconscious form of Lightning Jim. And Major Bowman, the grave and kindly old army surgeon, deserted his other patients to give the famous marshal immediate care. Weakened by exposure and loss of blood, Lightning Jim's condition was critical, and the conscientious surgeon was able to say no more than that the next few hours would tell the story.
Whitey, are you here?
Oh, I'm here, Lightning. Oh, you feel, you know.
Oh, my head. Where are we, Whitey? Well, what happened?
Yeah, that's the no lightning. We're at the garrison. Listen, Eva hurt here in the tornado.
Yeah. Now I remember. Whitey, what about thunder?
Oh, thunder's all right, lightning. She didn't get a scratch.
Oh, thank God. I beat the heat of that animal.
Yeah, oh, I know.
How are you feeling, lightning?
I don't know, yet, Colonel Steele. Just come to her. I reckon.
Whitey, can I speak to you in a minute?
Oh, sure.
Let's go in my office. We'll be right back, Lightning. I'll have Major...
Hold on, Colonel. What's up?
Why, nothing at all, Lightning. I just wanted to see Whitey.
You ain't fooling me, Colonel. What is it?
Now, listen, Lightning, you're a sick man, and Whitey can take care of what I want.
Yeah, well, I'll be sicker yet if you don't satisfy my curiosity. I know something's up.
Well, you can't do anything about it, so you might as well know. The jail was partially destroyed by the tornado, and two of the Star Gang escaped during the contingent.
Did Bell Star get away?
No. He was slightly injured, and one of the gang was killed. The great leader and Russ Sims stole a couple of horses and was seen heading for the border.
Whitey, you gotta go after them.
Lightning, I ain't going to leave you till the doctor says you're all right.
Thanks, partner. But I'm hard to kill. I'll be all right. You're a marshal, Whitey. Duty comes first.
Oh, I know. But I hate to leave you, Lightning. Say, Colonel, could you spare a man to go with me?
Yes. Get your horse and come back to the post. I'll have a man waiting at the north gate.
Listen, Whitey.
Jim Ombre's got a good head start on you. Better take thunder.
Thunder? Lightning? You mean that I can ride thunder?
Yeah. But don't let nothing happen to him, Whitey. I warn. Get going.
Hold on there, Marshal.
Corporal. Well, what you stopping me for this time?
I ain't stopping you, sir. I'm going with you.
You are going with me? You mean that you're the man the Colonel Steele said to work this job with me?
Yes, sir. Corporal O'Keefe, at your service, sir.
Well, for the rotten law.
Hold on, sir. You ain't got no call to feel that way. I was only carrying out orders when I stopped you a while ago.
Oh, well, I suppose. You say your name, Larson?
Yes, sir. O'Keefe it is, Marshal Larson.
Well, right, Mr. Man. No, come on, we got no time to waste. Come on, Thunder.
Well, Whitey seems to have no premonition of the danger into which he so gallantly rides. What happens when he meets those murderous bandits, Jake Leader and Russ Finn? And what of the notorious Bell Star, whose threat to escape has caused Lightning Jim such concern? The story unfolds in part two of The Adventures of Lightning Jim, which follows immediately. Now for part two of The Adventures of Lightning Jim. It's the morning following the tornado, and Whitey and Corporal Hawkins are following the trail of the escaped outlaws. While back at the army barracks where the injured were brought for treatment, Lightning Jim is talking to Belle Starr, who occupies a neighboring cot.
Well,
at least
the man whose life was in the balance less than 8 hours ago, he seemed pretty crippled.
Yeah, Belle. An old saying, the care keeps a good man down.
Now, a good woman either, Marshal. Don't forget that.
Another threat to escape, eh, Bell?
Take it any way you like, Lightning.
By the way, since we've got a lie here with nothing to do, I'd like to know how you got into this your business of fort stealing and bank robbing.
Well, your interest is flattering, Lightning. So I must say your description of my career is somewhat lacking in delicacy.
I heard you was a Confederate spy during the war. That right, Bell?
Yes, Lightning. Oh, it was wonderful. Thrilling, exciting, utterly different than anything I've known in my stupid, dull, small-town existence. It gave me a taste of what real living could be.
Same old story, eh? Like the James and younger boys, you just couldn't settle down to decent living after the war was over, hmm?
It's just about the size of it, Lightning. And like the just James and Cole Younger, I served under Mr. Quantrell.
You don't come to think of it, I did hear you were the Quantrell spy. Colonel McDougal over at Fort Benton was telling me he had had a run-in with you when he was just a non-com, serving under Major Enos down in southern Missouri.
Yes, it was the first day of that encounter with McDougal that I had my first ride with Steph as a saddle companion.
That's so, Belle?
You see, Lightning, Quantrell was in pretty desperate states at that time.
Mm-hmm.
He was operating a pitiful little company of 50 men in a territory that literally teemed with Union soldiers and militiamen. And he was badly in need of supplies and ammunition with which to carry on.
I see, and it was up to you to find out where he could get his hands on them things, huh?
Yes, Lightning, that was my job. Well, Major Enos was stationed in the town of Antonio. So I went up there, traded with one of his soldiers, and got the information I was after.
Well, the getting sounds simple enough, but what about passing that information on to Quantrell?
That was the hard part, Lightning. I knew Quantrell was trying to get a man through the federal lines, and that if successful, that man would be waiting just outside of the town of Carthage for me to bring him the information.
Mm-hmm.
The next morning, as I was starting for Carthage, Now, Hugo, he's a sergeant at that town. Stop. Is it Cooney speaking?
Well, no. And it's very early in the morning for a lass to be riding out.
Oh, good morning, Sergeant McCreevy. I'm just on my way to Carthage, and it's a long ride, so I hope you'll excuse me if I don't stand around talk.
Well, I'm sorry to have to detain you, Miss Bell, but the fact of the matter is, Major Enos wishes a word with you.
You'll have to tell the Major I just couldn't stop today, Sergeant. Tell him I'll see him the next time I come to Metonia. Now, if you'll kindly take your hand off my bridle, I'll be on the way.
Can I do it, Miss Bell? The orders are to bring you to the Major, and bring you I must.
Why, you idiot in Highland Beach. Get up, don't sit down, I have to get you. Stay there. I'm back. Let go, I say.
Stop it. Didn't do that.
Yeah, I heard a lot about that figure temper of yours, Bill.
Well, it didn't do me any good that day, Lawton. I was taken to Judge Richard's home, where Major Enos questioned me a bit about my brother Ed, who was a captain under contract. And then he left me locked in the parlor. You again, is it so all to stop? Well, what do you want now?
Them rebel tunes you've been banging out for an hour past. The Major sent me to tell you they were fair driving him mad.
That old Yankee fool doesn't have enough brains to go mad with. But I'm glad to know my music's annoying him. And you can count for me that it'll stop as soon as it gets me free. Not a minute before.
Well, that don't sound much like the official arrest of a war spy to me.
Oh, I hadn't been arrested as a spy, Lightning.
No?
Major Enos hadn't found out about my spying operations at that point.
Oh, I see.
I was being held for another reason, as I found out about an hour later. You call that preaching bagpipe caterwauling music?
Well, you know I cannot
play as good as so, but I'm on the rest of the baby himself. He's looking at your girl tonight. Okay. Right, Mr. Jones. Mr. Major calling me. And calling for it.
Says you are to go the loop.
You mean I'm free? I'm free to go to Carthage?
Hey, you'll be free to go to Carthage, lass. But should you meet a detachment of Union cavalry on the way, be certain to take a good look at their prisoner. I'll bet you a Yankee dollar to a rebel one will be Captain Ed Shirley, he said.
So, your brother Ed was the man that Quantrell had sent through the federal lines, eh, Ben?
Yes, and I was simply explained to that one. He'd been seen somewhere along the route and recognized, but by some miracle, he escaped capture and made it through the Carthage. Learning this, Major Enos had dispatched a cavalry troop to surround his hiding place and take him prisoner, dead or alive.
Yeah, but that cavalry troop had a good hour, 2 hours start on you, Bell, and Carthage must be 35, 40 miles from Newtonia. Surely you couldn't do nothing to save your brother's life.
Carthage was 35 miles by road map, Lightning, and that was the route the troop took. I knew a shortcut across the hills, and though there were federal pickets at intervals all along the countryside, I determined to get through the Carthage ahead of that troop. I dived down. Come on, Cooney, I'll get out. They spotted us there. That's the Cooney. Call out. One of the bullets creased through his flank.
but I kept on. Mile after mile we rode. Poor little mare. But she didn't already know about cherry switches. I taught her that day. But I made it, Lightning. I got through in time to warn Ed. When that cavalry troop rode into Carthage, my brother was well on his way back to Quantrell's camp with information that made possible one of the most successful and daring raids of his career. A raid that cost the Federals thousands of dollars and the lives of over 100 men.
Well, Belle, all I've got to say is that it's a shame they didn't turn that kind of courage to a good cause when the war was over. They could ride in the plains with a band of murdering cutthroats.
Trying to convert me to the side of law and order, Latin?
Well, maybe so.
Well, how about you making the first just see having these handcuffs taken off me? They annoy me.
Yes, sorry, Belle, but they'll have to stay on until the jail's repaired. You're safe behind bars again. You might take it into your head, try to speak, you know.
When I get ready to escape, Lightning, you may be sure a little thing like a pair of handcuffs won't stop me.
In the meantime, many miles south of Fort Anderson, Whitey and Hawkins forced their weary horses along a rocky trail.
Oh, Thunder. Oh, boy. Say, Hawkins, take a look at this track. He ain't more than an hour old by that list.
Oh, boy. What you say, Whitey?
I say this track just like this, Hawkins. That means you ought to spot those jaspers as soon as we get out to this fort.
Hope you're right, Whitey. Glossy and blimey eyes will lead you such a sight. I think his bleeding saddle is going right onto the seat of his pants.
Oh, I reckon it ain't so much fun to spend 16 hours in the saddle than in this trip. But we got to keep on riding just to see him.
Get up, Thunder.
Come on, Hawkins. We'll take this kind of stroll going out to this court.
We'll go as fast as we can. As soon as we meet up with him, ready, flying, fish, the effie at all, be.
Bring him up now, Blackie. And don't tell no funny business either.
Steady, Thunder. Keep the boy. It's them blighters we've been trying.
You're the one that got the drop on it.
You kind of not blew your britches, kid, when you started out to take leader. You ain't Lightning Jim, you know.
Yeah, and that's a lucky thing for you, I ain't, Rick. That gives you a couple more weeks to live.
Get the guns, right?
Yeah.
Feel good for any hideout weapon, too. You ain't taking no chances.
Yeah, leave it to me, Jake.
That's the end of the trail for you two, King Sai. We're taking you back in them caves and drilling you. It'll save us the trouble of burying.
Well, they've done it, Jake.
All right. Now get down off them horses, you two. Grab a couple of stalks of that there candlewood. It'll do for torches.
No one can see our targets better, eh, Jake? Glad you run torches, Yip. I always thought that polecat could see in the door.
Then up, sweet, and do as you're told before I lose my patience and decide to kill you the hard way.
There's no way out of this here blooming pickle, Whitey.
Well, let's all look at it, old man. We got to keep our eyes peeled for us next to yumps is too poor,
Cat. Hey! I didn't tell you to pull up the whole desert. Get back here, get quick.
Hold your horses, will you? I've got no guns, Whitey.
Look, got into this. That's the candlewood, Yates.
Yeah, about time. Start walking. Don't make a false move, or I'll let you have it in the bag. Come on, Rex.
Yeah, Jake. Jelly talking. I never thought I'd be walking at the head of my own funeral procession.
Blimey, doggy, say, Whitey. I don't see why that slippery, bloody weasel didn't kill us out there in the open. It ain't Christian to walk a man into his own team, it ain't.
That's fine enough. Now let them torches and turn around, my baby. Hey, what's that? Some kind of animal.
Look at that, Whitey.
Yo,
you're thinking right.
Light them torches,
you fool. You do it, Whitey. My hands are shaking.
Oh, that's a mess.
Who just my gun here? Look at the horse we've got into a dinner mountain lion.
Watch out. Them cookies
are trying to get out.
Oh, quit leaving that dog, please. You're
going to get out of here. Get off the dog. Jump him,
Oh,
let's get this. Oh, no. 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 Oh, no
No, come on and help me drag this Christian Jesus off of here. They've got the deep and fourth end of things. The Prince Storming. The hangman.
Howdy, old man.
No, that's me, Larson. How are you feeling? No.
Never mind me. You get them.
Yeah, we got them all.
Good work, Whitey. Well, now we got all the prisoners together again, huh?
Yeah, they're all old and yay, and all except in Bell.
Bell? Bell's car into the jail?
No, they rest him said he was still here at the army post. Had sprained ankle or something.
He was here, Whitey. But as soon as they told me the jail had been repaired, I told the turnkey to take Bell back and put her behind bars. But that was 2 hours ago.
The turnkey?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, see, that reminds me. I have a note for you. The turnkey left it with the livery stableman, and they told him not to send it over for a couple hours.
Well, I'll be doggone. Just done it, buddy. Bellstar's escaped.
Excuse?
Yeah, listen to this. Dear sir, I hope you will excuse me for what I am about to do. Bellstar is a real lady, and she tells me she is a widow, too. She wants me to settle down to a new life and joy and happiness. So we are eloping in place of me taking her back to jail. Truly yours, John Harder, turnkey, Fort Anderson jailer.
Well, I'll be a monkey's uncle. Bell Star eloped with a turnkey.
Yeah.
Wait, look what happened. Bell Star is asleep.
Yeah, so we just found out. Eloped with a turnkey.
Eloped, eh?
Yeah.
Well, all I've got to say is that it was sure a short honeymoon for him.
Huh?
Well, has the turnkey been taken in already?
Taken in is right. Taken in by Bell Star.
How?
He was just found lying on the ground about 10 miles out of town, clubbed over the head.
And so ends another chapter in the lives of Lightning Jim and his faithful deputy, Whitey Larson.